Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The Initial Reaction Podcast is with you once again. Usually we're bantering about a number of topics about Wisconsin sports, but today we're going to be focused. I need you, JP Kadoran, on the other line to be focused today as we talk about Wisconsin Badgers football, the Big Ten Championship game, and the potential of getting into the college football playoff. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. I'm from Lake Country Publications and now Newspapers.
What's up? I'm that JP guy he talked about from Time Warner Cable Sports Channel. It's really happening, huh? Badgers in the Big Ten West. Why have I not gotten more of the surprise talk about the way this season has turned out and all that kind of crap? Why has that not come out more?
I just think there's a lot more going on. I mean, for one thing, sure, we weren't expecting to be talking about the college football playoff at the beginning of the season, and sure, you know, Big Ten championship now is within reach. So it's just been such a good season. There've been so many other things to talk about. I'm not sure we're even thinking back in time to when this would have been a pipe dream at the beginning of the season.
Does that mean it's not a story? Like it's not a surprise? Here's the reason I ask. Because I want to get some real talk out there, JR. Can I get some real talk out there?
Sure, real talk is fine. We'll keep it 100, as the kids say.
All right, so we talked about schedules more than I could possibly imagine. We talked about the gauntlet that they had, and while it was a tough schedule, I think they did, you know, they did a pretty good job getting through it. Right? Right?
Yeah,
right?
Of course, absolutely.
Before the year, what is the reason we said that this team wouldn't make the Big Ten title game? It is because they played Ohio State, Michigan State, and Michigan. Right? It's not because they weren't a good team. Almost everybody said this is going to be a better team with a worse record. Right?
Yes.
So far, are we simpatico? Are we good?
Yes, we are good.
So I just wanted to, the reason I asked you before about why we haven't heard surprise talk is because I don't want to hear that from anybody. I don't want to deal with that talk about, can you believe the amazing job they did of winning the Big Ten West? Like, we thought they were the best team in the West, didn't we? Am I remembering it wrong? Like, am I just noticing that they are the Big Ten West champ, and so, well, of course, we had to have thought that before?
I don't know for sure if people thought it was a slam dunk. They were certainly among the favorites. I think Iowa was perceived as a team that would do a little bit better.
Definitely
Nebraska was seen as a team, especially after the first round of rankings. Nebraska was seen as the favorite.
Yeah, and I also asked that because I knew before the season, this, I remember having this thought and almost bring it up on a radio show, but then I didn't because I chickened out. But what happens if Wisconsin sweeps the division but loses the three games to the East? You know, should they be the division representative? Because I thought there was a really good chance of that happening, you know, because I thought they were probably the best team in the West, and they could go 6-0 versus the West and then 0-3 against the crossover teams. But then somebody like Nebraska or Iowa would go because they had a weaker schedule. So I don't know. I don't know why I wanted to get that off my chest. I don't know why I'm feeling this way. But I just I don't want to deal with the surprise of the year talk. Now, and that's just to get to the championship game. Now, if they make the playoffs, then I think surprising talk is probably fair. But I don't know. I don't know. If you can play doctor and tell me why I feel that way, I'd love you.
I certainly am not going to play doctor, and you are definitely not going to be my patient, but
I won't say that I love you either, so.
Yes, I guess I even thought that, and we've talked about this a little bit, I thought that the Badgers would slip up somewhere, not because I thought that they should, but they always have. I mean, even with Russell Wilson, there were a couple blemishes there, and they came back and they did get to the Big Ten Championship and won it, so,
Oh my God, the Hail Marys. Oh.
Yes.
Oh my God, the Michigan State, Ohio State Hail Marys. I'd forgotten about those.
Yeah, I think the Badgers are a really solid team, and I thought that coming into the season, I didn't think they'd be anywhere near this good. And especially when you consider, now the running game lately has stepped up, but the running game is not a traditional powerhouse Wisconsin running attack. The offensive line is Ryan Ramczyk and guys who are doing the best they can, but
first
are not like.
Pick Ryan Ramczyk?
Oh man.
Question mark?
I mean, second at worst at this point, right? So I just don't know with this line, and as young as it is, and with the running game not clicking as it is, and really the quarterback play being just okay at best, you can't really say this Wisconsin team is a world beater, but the defense has just been so good and opportunistic and put itself in position. But now for me, JP, the real question is, and everyone's question is, what comes next? Because in this Big Ten title game, they do not get an opportunity to knock off either Michigan or Ohio State from the East. They get a team which is sort of a careful what you wish for situation. It could be, I think, perceptively an easier opponent, a better chance. Wisconsin, I think, will be favored in this game to beat Penn State. And if they do, the question is, will they be one of the final four teams? And there are some pretty divergent schools of thought on that. Kind of was hoping they would get Michigan in that final game so that they did have a chance to get one more high-profile win on the docket, because I'm not sure if Penn State's going to be a good enough win to vault them into the Final Four. That it's just going to be a time for hand-wringing and being really nervous when those rankings come out on Sunday.
Which is crazy, because Penn State is ranked 7th. You know, meanwhile, somebody like Clemson is playing, what, Virginia Tech, and they're like 23rd. So, you know, beating a 7th-ranked team should be worth a lot. I just think the problem is those two losses and thinking that Michigan is probably a better team. If you're going to put two Big Ten teams in, I don't know if this is the ESPN bias talking about and all the talking and all the Harbaugh love that they've gotten coming forth. But I mean, don't you just feel like Michigan is a better team? Not to mention the head-to-head result. You know, I have a hard time. You have a hard time convincing me that Wisconsin deserves a spot just because they beat Penn State in what was called a championship game. You know, I mean, I don't know. I struggle with it a lot, and I think that's a good sign because that means that there's a lot of good things going on, a lot of good reasons.
Yeah. It definitely comes down to what the committee values, and I get that we can look at the last 2 years and draw some conclusions. There have been 8 teams in this format, and all of them have been conference championships, but we know pretty well that Ohio State, who will not win the conference title, is going to be one of the 4 this year. And I just don't think 2 years is enough evidence to really draw on how the committee thinks or what the committee truly values. There's certainly an on-paper case for, if we're looking at Wisconsin versus Michigan, there's an on-paper case that Wisconsin has the better profile. And when you match up wins and losses and outcomes, and yeah, they don't have the head-to-head, but they have really everything else, I think. But isn't what the committee's purpose is, isn't it to sort of weed out the data and the comparing, contrasting, and using all that stuff as tools, but to say, who is the better team here? And I don't think it's going to necessarily even come down to Michigan versus Wisconsin. But if it does, shouldn't you say Michigan is the better team? They won the head-to-head, and nothing else matters at that point. But now it might not come down to that. It might come down to Michigan versus Washington versus Wisconsin, or, you know, Washington versus Wisconsin. I mean, it's so there's just no way to know what they're thinking and what they value. Do they value the wins more, the quality of win, or the quality of losses? You know, Wisconsin's got 2 losses, but they were an overtime loss to a team that's going to the college football playoff and a 1-score loss on the road to another team in the conversation. It was as quality as it gets. Michigan doesn't have that. They have an overtime loss to Ohio State, but then also the loss to Iowa, which looks pretty bad. I don't know. It doesn't matter that they have pretty good wins, too. It's just a very complicated process, and we have no real window into exactly how they're thinking because we don't have that much data.
I think it's a really good point that you made about how it's only been 2 years and that's not enough to draw any sort of conclusions. Like, you can say, well, look, they took 8 conference champions before. But, like, that's just that year's scenario. That doesn't mean that that's only what they want. I think if Washington wins, then a lot of this doesn't matter anyway, because I think that Washington will probably get in as that 4th spot ahead of anybody else. It's just...
Yeah, I'm not sure of that either.
And that, well, of course, and that's the thing. Like, there's so much to talk about. So in that sense, I was going to kind of go in a different way. Like, do you think this playoff is working? Because look at how much we're debating everything that's going in.
I saw a tweet earlier today, I don't know who sent it out, showing what the BCS standings would be, the much vilified BCS. Very similar to what we have with the college football playoff rankings. Very, very similar. Almost no difference whatsoever.
So, but then I would say, and I saw that as well, but wouldn't you say if Clemson, because right now Clemson's number 3, if Clemson won, wouldn't you vault them ahead of Ohio State then after that? Because Ohio State's not playing, you know, Clemson gets one more signature win.
I would, absolutely. Yeah. And that's part of all these equations is, and I think by now most people understand this, this is the rankings today, and they have absolutely nothing to do with what comes later. And we saw in past years, sometimes it doesn't even have that much to do with what's going on today because they make changes and that you don't see coming. It's not necessarily an indication of, at all because of the games that still happen.
So no, do not give people that much credit.
Okay. People don't have a clue what's going on. They are panicking because the Badgers are still sixth, and they think that the Badgers would still have to vault two teams inexplicably when in reality the win will probably vault them over at least one of them.
Will it, though?
I don't know. That's what we have to know. It's impossible to get inside the committee's head.
That's the other thing. I don't even like the term that somebody wins, you need to automatically add one or two spots onto them just because they won the game. I don't think is the right way to look at it, because I think at the end of the day, if it were me, I would start with a completely fresh sheet every single week and not even look at who was ranked where the previous week. I would look at, all right, now what is this team's resume versus this team's resume? And I would strictly go by that. It shouldn't matter what the standings are right now with Michigan being ahead of Wisconsin. Shouldn't matter at all. If Wisconsin wins, and we're only talking about that because if they lose, you know, kind of who cares about the playoff. But if Wisconsin wins, then you compare them head-to-head with Michigan and see whose resume is better, see whose head-to-head is better, see whose conference championship title is better, depending on what you want to do. And the committee has, you know, different people have said different things about what the committee will do and wants to do. So it is just to completely end the cycle of what-ifs until Sunday at, what, noon, I want to say?
Yeah, I think so. Noon or noon Eastern.
On the TV guide, it says from 11 to 3, the college football poll
oh,
selection
man.
Show.
That would be such an NCAA move to draw this thing out. We'll release one team an hour over our four-hour selection show.
I remember last year that I found out, I was streaming it on my phone on the way back from Indianapolis, I found out about the Rose Bowl last year passing by National Avenue on the high-rise bridge downtown Milwaukee. So it was 4 hours after we left Indianapolis. Problem is, I don't remember what time we left Indianapolis. It was bright out, though, and we only get like 4.5 hours of sunlight right now. So maybe it was sometime around like 1 o'clock.
That's amazing. That would be a very NCAA pro sports modern television move to make.
So that's what the guide says.
I think the Washington-Wisconsin comparison will be fascinating if that's what it comes down to. Now, I think if either Washington or Clemson loses, it does kind of feel like the Big Ten champion, the champion of the best conference in football, is going to get a spot at the table. I don't know for sure if that happens if both lose, but it feels – or if neither loses.
Yeah.
Right, if they both win. But it does kind of feel like that would make a little bit of sense. But now if let's say Washington and Wisconsin are your final two choices. I mean, Washington's non-conference schedule was abysmal, and Wisconsin played LSU. That's just one game difference in the non-conference season. Washington scheduling what they did is because the program's been down for a long time, and they're kind of trying to build some confidence and get back into it. I mean,
schedules are set four or five years ago, too. They didn't know. I mean, it'd be a completely different thing if you say, all right, we might have championship aspirations this year. This is the way we're going to schedule.
No doubt. And obviously Washington didn't schedule programs that you can reasonably expect to be in that top tier. Of course they didn't. I don't even know the names off the top of my head.
But they weren't good.
States and A&Ms and all sorts of things.
Directions.
But even still, I mean, Wisconsin couldn't have thought that they would be in this conversation when they scheduled LSU a million years ago. Remember when that announcement came out and it was a 3-year deal? I mean, these sorts of things, you can't just snap your fingers at the beginning of the year and say, we need to toughen our non-conference schedule. So I get that you do have to hold it against teams because you have to have some criteria. But in a way, it also feels kind of unfair that Washington would get dinged having won their conference, a Pac-12, which is not terrible, not great, but not terrible. And then you have to ding them because they happen to have their non-conference set up 5 years ago.
Yeah, I agree. And looking at, all right, so you're the Big Ten champion and you have one signature win, and that's Penn State on a neutral field, because the only other, you know, elite teams that you played, you lost to. You know, Nebraska, Iowa, LSU are all at the very bottom, you know, of the top 25. Iowa just got in this week. I think LSU just got in this week. And Nebraska is plummeting. If there was another week's worth of rankings, Nebraska would be 50th.
But look at Washington. Washington's got the win over Stanford, convincing win, and then, you know, Washington State fell out of the rankings. USC is a team that they played and lost to. Utah fell to the bottom. They would have to beat Colorado on Friday, which is going to, you know, that would be a signature win too. But I've even heard some rogue theories that Colorado could sneak into the conversation or Oklahoma could sneak into the conversation. And then I have to ask myself, does the committee look at how a game was played? Are they going to give credit to Wisconsin for taking Ohio State to overtime and losing by a score at the Big House? I mean, those are really close losses. Whereas you could say, well, Michigan had wins that were kind of dicey. I mean, Wisconsin had one or two of those too, but Michigan didn't play very well toward the end of the year against Indiana. Are they looking at anything other than outcomes?
Yeah.
I think Michigan lost.
Yeah, Michigan lost two out of their last three, and the one that they won was Indiana, and barely. So there's a lot there. It's fascinating. I've said this before. You can make a case for every team. You can make such a strong case for your team to get in, and you can find flaws with the other teams. And it's fascinating to me because you have no idea what's going to happen.
Whatever happens, we'll be cheering against Clemson and against Washington. It goes without saying that I don't know if it goes without saying for sure, but I think a loss for sure for Washington, maybe for sure for Clemson, is going to completely knock them out of the equation. And then we could have a scenario where if they both lose, you have three Big Ten teams in the Final Four and Alabama, which is pretty close to the theory or the proposed scenario I threw out, where the four Big Ten teams face each other, winner gets Alabama. Who says no to that?
You're funny. No, by the way, I'll say no to that. I don't mind.
Okay. Will you be going to Indianapolis to watch the Big Ten title game?
Of course. This will be, there have been six Big Ten title games played. I will have been to five of them now.
It's beautiful. Yes,
it's
beautiful.
Fun, man. Indy is a good town. Obviously, Badgers are going to travel well. I would assume Penn State is going to travel well because this is their first time going.
And obviously they have
a lot at stake here because there's an outside chance of them getting in as well. This would certainly be a signature win for them to go along with their victory over Ohio State. So I would think it's going to be an electric environment with a ton on the line because we will have already known the SEC plays at 2:30, but I think the ACC plays at the same time. I think that's the way that they normally work. So
and
we'll
the
be watching
plays
that
the day before, so that'll be out of the way.
Oh, wow. Nice. Okay. I was going to say, do they do Pac-12 after dark for that too or no?
I don't know, JP. We will actually be occupied that night, just so
we
you know.
We will.
At the same event. We will not be watching the Pac-12 title game.
I will be desperately avoiding you in a public place, won't I?
That's true. We'll be at a
You're
concert
welcome.
Together.
You're welcome. So, yes, I alerted the one and only J.R. Ratcliffe to a concert at the Rave downtown Milwaukee. Jimmy Eat World, we think, might be headlining. But the real headline is, how many places can I lose him and try and find someone else to talk to?
In a circular room, no less, where there are not many places to hide. But point of order, I knew about this concert as long before you alerted me, quote-unquote, to it. Oh, come on. I know when Jimmy Eat World is coming to Milwaukee. The problem is I didn't have anybody who could come with me. And then I found out you were going. And I'm in this very awkward place where you're going with your wife. Now, I've gone to concerts by myself before. I'd have no problem doing it. But then it would be like, here I am, hanging out with you and your wife. That seems a little awkward. So I actually had to find people to come with me just as, I like these people and I want to go to the concert with them, but it's also kind of because I need that buffer just in case, JP, you decide that I am not cool enough for you.
Yeah, that might be appropriate. It'll probably remind me of my first concert ever was at the Rave. Just had no idea what to do. Just was standing there. I had to be probably 16 or 17. It was Ben Folds. It was delightful, by the way. You know who opened for him? Duncan Sheik.
Really? Barely Breathing. Yes.
Indeed. He's coming out with a new album. Opened for Ben Folds and just had no idea what to do. Just a lost little boy from the suburbs at the Rave.
Yeah, I was terrified at my first concert in similar fashion, not knowing what to do. I was at the U.S. Cellular Arena in downtown Milwaukee. I did not live in Milwaukee. We traveled about an hour and a half to see Creed in the late 90s. Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, this is before
terrible.
Creed went bad, we should note. There were a couple bands opening for them that I really liked. Oleander and Our Lady Peace, bands I love to this day. But Creed was the headliner, and I was really kind of nervous. They made you sort of sit down on the floor until the show began, and if you stood up, they shined a flashlight on you, like, sit down, kid. Oh. And I was kind of freaked out. I was like, am I going to, like, get hurt in a mosh pit? You know, that was my thought. I'm going to end up in a mosh pit and die. Of course, I'm nowhere near the front of the stage. It's not going to happen. But at the time, I didn't know any better. And, yeah, that was my first concert, and it was a really good time. I mean, I was there to see the opening bands, but obviously was there, you know, stayed for the headline, and I very much, I had a great time. I look back on it and feel a little dirty because Creed became terrible, and I feel bad for liking that moment in time, but it was pretty great.
Everybody has such good concert stories, you know?
It's true. That's
one thing that unifies us all, is that everybody has either a terrible concert story, an awesome story, you know, like this is completely unexpected and not sports at all, but hey, we're down this path. So
The rabbit hole. Let's keep digging. People turned us off anyway.
That would be my summer after my junior year of college, road tripped with friends to drive to New York City to see Dispatch play because they had said it was their last concert like a couple years ago and we didn't go to it. So then we drove to New York City on, I think, Saturday morning. And the concert was Sunday night, and we left after the concert Sunday night. We got lost on the Jersey Turnpike trying to get back west. Just phenomenal. At Madison Square Garden. It was just, oh, my God, that was amazing. The things I could do when I was young.
Yes, no doubt. I've been to a lot of shows. I'm not a big fan of huge shows, like arena shows. They just – I mean, obviously they're not as intimate, but I don't ever come away feeling surprised by them. They all just feel like how they're supposed to feel. Even as I say that, I'm thinking of my favorite show, and it is at a pretty big play section outdoor show. But Summerfest is perfect for this sort of thing. The side stages at Summerfest, that's just the perfect size to me. You get there, it's not a big giant arena, and yet it feels like there's a ton of people there. In some cases, there are a ton of people there, and yet if you're closer to the stage, it feels this perfect mix of crowd energy meets semi intimacy, and it's awesome. So pretty much all my favorite shows were on the lakefront in Milwaukee.
Yeah, wait. So what was your favorite show?
My favorite show was at Veterans Park. With it was the Foo Fighters at the Harley Festival.
Wow.
7-8 years ago. See, I think the best shows are ones where you come away a little surprised, like you didn't think you were going to have that good a time. I really enjoyed that one because my wife was with me, and there aren't many bands that we agree upon. And the shows love the most are the ones where I'm with my wife, and she's having as good a time as I am, because it sort of gives you permission to have a really good time as well and sing the lyrics and be kind of crazy. Because normally,
isn't that all that we're after in this world is just approval
marriage.
From the wife?
That's marriage. Yes, it is. So I had the Foo Fighters are spectacular, in my opinion. They're the best live band on earth, and I very much have enjoyed seeing them multiple times, but that was the first time I saw them and had a great time. That's my number one.
That's awesome. Why haven't we done like best concert lists before?
I
love the way
we're doing it right
out now.
Why don't you tell me your best concert while we're at it?
I mean, we're not talking about the Brewers first baseman. We're not digging into Packers troubles despite somehow finding a way to win. No, I'd much rather talk about concerts. I think my list is tough because I'm an idiot. And so I have seen the band OAR live. I believe my count is at 24 for them because
they're
always
Summerfest staple.
Yeah. So they come to Summerfest every year since I was in like 10th grade. And then they almost always play at the Rave or somewhere else like that every year. And when I was in college, I used to like travel and go see him, like go to other friends' campuses and see him. So it's not something I set out to do, but it was like every year, hey, do you want to go to this? Yeah, sure. We'll head out to that. So I think that's when you're talking about concerts that surprise you, like that's kind of their goal. You know, I don't know if they do it to outsiders or anything, but like to me, every concert is completely different, especially when you look back like 8 years ago, like that concert was nowhere near the same as it is now. So I don't know. Basically, you put me anywhere with them and I'm usually in a pretty good mood.
Yeah, that seems fair. I found as I've gotten older, the surprising gap between bands I like live and bands I like studio albums from. There are a lot of – Breaking Benjamin is a good example. I'm not as big into them anymore, but I was when I was younger into that band. And live, they just don't do anything for me. And Chevelle is a band that I adore. But then live, I just there have been a couple shows I've really liked, but like is as far as I go with them. I mean, I love those bands. They're maybe my two favorite studio bands of all time, but I definitely haven't had the energy live when I've seen them. And then there are bands like, there's a little Chicago band called Local H. They had a one hit situation in the 90s, but they've continued to make music and some of it is semi well known. And they are, in my opinion, the greatest live band on earth. Well, except for the Foo Fighters. And I don't own any of their albums. I mean, I don't really get into their music per se, but live, they put on a tremendous show. Two-man band. It's electric.
I gotta say, I'm finding out a lot about you today. When you list all these bands that you've been to, that tells you a lot about a person.
Does not it really lie. That yeah. I like rock music? That seems pretty boring attribute
yeah.
of mine.
But then you also use the word adore, and then I learned something else about you. So, you know, it's interesting. You talked about adoring an all-male rock band.
Yeah, I feel like you can do that with music. Music allows you to go places that you don't normally go in your
nice.
Life. Is that not
Did we just
not
become
right?
a music podcast?
I think we did. Let's talk about the 90s rock that shaped our lives, JP.
No, we Mighty Mighty Boston's, I guess.
Oh, well, you know, we all did differently.
I had a brother who was 2 years older than me, and so I just basically listened to everything he did. So, like, I had Nirvana albums because I was an eight-year-old living in Heartland, Wisconsin. You know? So why
yeah.
not?
Yes, it's perfectly suitable. See, the thing is, I was big into it when I was a kid. Huge into music. And even into college, I was just huge, huge into music. I knew every song, pop music,
yeah,
rock
right.
music. I knew everything that was coming out.
Did you belong to the Columbia Music Record Club?
Oh, JP, everyone our age belonged to the Columbia Music Club. We all we got 13 albums for a dollar or whatever it was, or 10
yeah.
cents. We all did that. So
maybe
I
that's where all
it.
My money goes these days. That it's not to daycare. Just my bank just keeps draining because it's the Columbia Record Club still finding ways to siphon my account.
It's
maybe
like Bobby it. Bonilla, the Bobby Bonilla deal. They
yes.
they knew they got in early.
Yes.
Yeah, so, but today I'm so far removed from
it.
I don't
fun.
Know any of these big bands, which is why when we go see the show on Friday, Jimmy Eat World is one of my favorites, but then you have Head in the Hand and Fits in the
Head
Tantrums.
In the Heart.
Head in the Heart.
Jeez,
yeah, see,
you're
these
so
the thing.
Old. You can't even
well,
say
I know.
Beef, right?
These are supposed to be really big bands, and I listened to some Fits in the Tantrums songs, like, oh yeah, okay, I've heard these songs in department stores. Like, I know
yeah.
On commercials. I know this yeah. music. I just didn't
like,
know
I'm
who the
going,
band was.
And, like, I'm going for Head in the Heart. Like, I'm excited for that. It's my wife that wants to go for Jimmy, but no, it'll be fun.
Okay, let's
yeah.
Let's
all right,
digress.
Now that that's done.
I'm a little excited that we talked about music this long. That's
we'll
definitely new territory for us.
We'll come up with a different random topic to talk about next week. It'll be great.
Yes, and maybe our listenership will grow. We're reaching out to more people. We're branching
but no,
out.
But we do have, Jaron, I've talked about this, we have a list of guests that we're going to bring on the next couple weeks. So if you think that you're interesting enough and you're wondering why you're not on the podcast, maybe you're next.
I really thought you were going to say maybe you're not interesting enough. That's what I thought you were going to say.
No, we have a list. We're going to bring you some fresh new tracks. It's basically if you listen to this podcast, it's like you just joined the Columbia Record Club because you're going to get the next 13 podcasts all for the price of none with nothing more to pay ever.
Shout out to a guy who does listen to us, Joe Robinson, who keeps a really good Twitter account. And he has me believing that the Badgers are going to be one of these four teams. I feel like I'm just trying to believe really hard, but he's got a lot of stuff laid out that makes it sound like maybe the Badgers really do have a good shot at this. So,
all right, so let's lay down the line then. So you think Wisconsin wins on Saturday, right?
Yeah.
And do you think they make it?
No, I don't. I think that Washington or Clemson needs to lose for that to happen. And even if they all win, if anybody's going to leapfrog Washington, I think it's Michigan at this point.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think it happens. This was a doomsday scenario I've been fearing for some time. And really, I would say that the biggest issue I have is that we don't have enough data to know precisely what the committee's going to do. And in the situation we're in, I just don't think Wisconsin has the wild card.
Yep. And the only way that I know that I'm wrong in my prediction is that I agree with you. Because I think,
oh, yes.
I do think Wisconsin wins, and I don't think they make it. Somewhat different. I think, you know, I think that they need two teams to lose. And I think that if one of those teams loses, I think either they stay in, you know, like if Clemson loses, maybe they stay in, or I think Michigan goes. So
yeah,
I just don't think you can put Wisconsin ahead of Michigan. It's like so we're debating all these resumes of these teams across the conferences. And then you think, well, what if there was just like one way to tell who was better or one way to tell which team should be in? I don't know. Head to head, see if they played each other.
Right.
So to me, just that head to head means too much. So that's my guess, but who knows what they're going to do. But if it were me, yeah, I'm saying Wisconsin wins on Saturday, but is left out and they play in the Rose Bowl on January 2nd, which means I cover the Packers-Lions game in Detroit on the 1st, spend New Year's Eve in Detroit, cover the Packers-Lions game on the 1st, and then fly out to LAX and cover the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I spent last New Year's Eve in Detroit. There was a baptism New Year's Eve night for some of my wife's relatives. I'm not kidding.
I thought you were just going to say, like, that was New Year's Eve in Detroit. Like, that was their big celebration. Like
it was pretty close to the
some
celebration.
Some places drop a crystal ball. Some places do whatever.
Drop a baby in some holy water.
Detroit
That's what happens.
Baptist, so.
Yeah. Yeah. I've done the Detroit thing a few times, a few more times than I would have liked, but right. Shout out to my Detroit friends. I love you.
I'll take your pointers then. Beautiful.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, Eric Thames signed with the Milwaukee Brewers. We weren't really going to talk about this, but real quickly, what was your reaction to that? Cause that
I
caught
had no
people
idea.
By surprise.
And not the fact that he signed. It's the fact that they let Carter go. And maybe there's something to this I'm missing, but why in the world would you just let Chris Carter go and not bring him in and try and trade him?
Well, I think they're still trying to trade him. I guess
but isn't
they
that,
will, but it's going to be an
Josh,
underwhelming return.
Yeah, isn't that now the Josh Sitton situation where you have a team?
A window.
They know that you don't want him on your team, so why would they give you anything for him?
Well, I completely agree with you. Yeah, I guess the only thing would be first dibs to sign him. I don't know, but you're absolutely right. I'm a little confused by that part of it. I'm mostly confused. Not confused, but I'm a little disappointed. Not because I don't think Thames could be a good player, but it seems like it's definitely a more cost-effective risk, and it is a bigger risk, which makes me feel as though they really don't think they're going to compete in a couple years yet. And I'm willing to wave off 2017 and have been for a while, but 2018, yeah. I still in my heart of hearts believed was a year that they could be competitive. I see moves like this, and it doesn't certainly rule it out, but it looks as though you're signing him with a three-year deal. He's a 30-year-old who spent time in Korea. Granted, he had good numbers, but now I'm wondering, hey, do you think you're going to be competitive in the next 3 years?
Yeah,
maybe not.
But was Chris Carter that good?
No, he wasn't.
That's the other thing, is that we are just enamored with his home runs, but in every other aspect, he wasn't good. So maybe that's another part of it.
Maybe the Brewers
saw his true value, whereas we only see home runs, and we get blinded by it.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a case to be made for that. I guess I just thought, I feel like they're taking the route that is cheaper, because it might help them further down the road, and I feel like the road is a little bit longer. And not necessarily because of this one move, maybe just sort of the direction they've been heading. I talked about that with the Adam Lind trade last year, how I felt like the long-term projection was longer than I would personally like it to be, but, you know, at some point I'm just going to have to surrender to the idea that this rebuild really is going to take a few years.
It's almost like you shouldn't be the GM of a baseball team.
Oh,
it's almost
no
like they know more than you do.
No question, although I did think Keon Broxton should be starting in center field last year, but that's not on the GM. That's just how it played out.
Unfortunately, instead of a GM, we're stuck with just reading your crap in the newspaper and online. What crap have you turned out lately?
I have such good crap this week, JP. We did a whole section on the J.J. Watt family. The Watts, of course, J.J., Derek, T.J., who's a big part of first team all-conference with the Badgers defense. We did a huge section on them in Thursday's report, Lake Country Reporter. It's all online already. You can check it out. It's a ton of stuff about the Watt roots in Pewaukee, sort of their backstories, the story about the dad when he was a player and the mom and how she runs the J.J. Watt Foundation. Just tons and tons of stuff because J.J.'s Texans, of course, are going to be playing at Lambeau Field on Sunday. This was planned long before J.J. Watt was lost for the year to injury, but still, like, very, very proud of what we've got put together. So you can check that out in the Lake Country Reporter or at lakecountrynow.com.
Good for you. Proud of you, dog.
Yes. Well, you can also find my round ball rankings. That's back, which is look at all Milwaukee area basketball.
MyCommunityNow.com
/ round ball. Boys or girls?
Both.
Okay. Well, the girls, it's Arrowhead, and the boys right now, it's Whitnall. But number one, we don't have a clear-cut number one in boys basketball yet. It's going to be a little muddy until things start to – maybe we have to get into conference play a little bit to see who the good teams are. But, well, they're all good teams. That's the problem. There's like 12, 15 good teams.
Yeah.
It's
hard
to really separate them.
I feel like I can't really get an accurate depiction of who to watch for by reading that. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to watch the high school basketball tip-off show because that's Friday night on Time Warner Cable Sports Channel. And that gives a pretty comprehensive view of our teams and players to watch. And that premieres at 7 p.m. So I think I'm just going to do that instead. That seems like a much better option.
Perhaps. Remember how I was on one of those preview shows,
I do.
For football season, and I was never invited back to another one?
Yeah, we've debated the merits of that, and let's just say that you set the standard really low, and we don't want to go to that standard again.
You're such a liar. You're just jealous of me, JP. That's what it comes down to.
Nope. I'm just hard at work getting a certain preview show ready for Friday night. So,
all right.
We will get our concert rankings over with. We will get everything over with. We'll get ready for Friday's party and Saturday's party in Indianapolis, and we're going to have a lot to talk about next week with a mystery guest.
That's right. We do have a mystery guest. I'm actually going to be going to Kentucky next Wednesday to see my beloved Valpo Crusaders play at Rupp Arena against the Kentucky Wildcats. So we'll be talking about that, of course.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about Iowa basketball this year. I get a feeling that's just not going to be a thing.
They've got Peter Jock. He's good.
He was the second leading scorer in the country going into last night.
Yep, he's good. There's not much else there. That's the end of the list.
We got a little Bohannon on the team.
Oh, good. There's like 40 of those. Seriously, though, they graduated like 17 seniors off last year's team or something. 17 to 25 seniors off last year's team.
Four senior starters, so it's a bit of an impact.
Yes. So we should shut up about our own colleges, as they have nothing to do with the Wisconsin sports scene, and just let listeners go, finally. Release them from the clutches here.
All right, done. Well, I will see you this weekend, and we'll be back next week with a pretty awesome podcast. There's going to be a lot to talk about, so I'm looking forward to it.
All right, JP, thanks for joining me. I'll talk to you later.
All right, bye, friends.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.